Blog Talk Radio.
The date when the first atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. We'll get into that with an interview I did with a Japanese veterinarian, one of two or three veterinarians. I discussed the effect of the atom bomb explosion on the animals at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we'll get to that after the births, deaths, and events relevant to us, USA. Today's birthday of Alfred Lord Tennyson, who wrote the famous poem Charge of the White Brigade. A magnificent blunder was the best way to describe it. The guy who claimed to have invented penicillin, a Canadian, Sir Alexander Fleming, there's some dispute about that, if he was the only one, excuse me. And great, here's Lucille Ball, who worked with, who married Desi Arnaz. Lucille Ball was born today. Another artist, controversial, Andy Warhol, was born on this day. Among the deaths today, one of the great English actors, he lived in a hotel in New York where a lot of other artists lived, and he died in near poverty, Sir Cedric Hardwicke. He had a great voice. We had Pope Paul VI, controversies about him. He died of a heart attack. And when he was 80 years old, and his successor was the first Polish Pope, John Paul II. The first guy to survive 620 days with an artificial heart, the Jarvik heart, was a guy named William Schroeder. I think he was a Mormon dentist. And we had another great voice in media, CBS's news correspondent and a real journalist, Harry Reisner. He died young, 68 years old. Among the events today, the Holy Roman Empire was ended in 1806. It took them that long to get to it. In 1870, white conservatives and Ku Klux Klan types in Tennessee disenfranchised blacks from voting. In 1890, we had the first use of the electric chair in New York. A guy named John Hart, who was tried, and he was executed by the electric chair. Now, here's a public question. Should convicted criminals have a choice of their method of execution? Electric chair, gas chamber, guillotine, firing squad, or lethal injection? This question, maybe they should get, in effect, the last rites in a way of their last rites of passage from this world to the hereafter. And in 1914, of course, we're celebrating or commemorating the 100th anniversary of the beginning of World War I. Austria-Hungary, that dual empire, dual monarchy, declared war on Russia. Serbia declared war on Germany. And, of course, the whole map of Europe was changed, and it's still up in flux because of all the things that are going on with Russia and Ukraine, and nothing's been settled really in the former Yugoslavia, which was Serbia, which was part of Serbia, Croatia, Montenegro, which was part of the Ottoman Empire. The first woman to swim in the English Channel, Gertrude Ederle, back in 1926. Also in 1926, Warner Brothers, these were Jewish ethnic rag merchants who went to Hollywood, like a lot of them, Samuel Goldwyn, the guy who started 20th Century Fox, I think it was Cohen, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, Warner Brothers, they changed their name from Warshawski to Warner Brothers, and they developed or they put out the first sound-on-disc movies. Starred John Barrymore in Don Juan, and he was one of the Barrymore family. There was Ethel, John, and there's one other. And of course, we have the granddaughter, Barrymore, whose half sister recently died. In 1934, famous general in the U.S. Marine Corps, Smedley Butler, who fought many battles for the United States. Government and policies, Nicaragua, the Boxer Rebellion. The last of the U.S. Troops left Haiti after nearly 30 years, or 20 years, 1915 they were down there. And maybe this is something to think about. If these countries down there can't control the illegal migrant situation, maybe we should tell them, if you can't control it, we will send down our troops seal your borders to prevent these migrants from coming up here. We don't know what they're coming up here. Are they healthy? Are we facing a new Ebola or some other virus that will come into the country? Because in the early part of this country, when immigrants came to this country at Ellis Island or here at Angel Island on the West Coast, they were checked by doctors. We don't have that anymore. We don't know what is coming across our border and what these migrants may be carrying, what diseases and which are contagious. So we've already had, about the time of World War I, we had the great flu epidemic that wiped out millions of people around the globe. And this Ebola thing, there's no vaccine to control it or to contain it, and we don't know what these kids are bringing in, these illegal migrants. We've said this before, that we need to reinstitute protection at our borders to screen what type of people are coming in here, whether they're healthy or not. Of course, the illegal alien political advocates and their morons in the media are pushing this agenda, want to leave our borders wide open for anything and everything to come through and contaminate the rest of us. Also on this day, the atomic bomb, the first of the atomic bombs, I think it was called Fat Boy, was dropped on Hiroshima. And we'll get to that in a second. I just want to end this one. 1946, the United States submitted to the jurisdiction of the World Court. Now, we need to get into that because our constitutional rights are at risk by some foreign court determining what we will not have as our rights as American citizens. And here's that interview with the atomic bomb. What was the effect on Japanese animals? Were they affected? This is an audio interview I did in Australia several years ago, and I think it's very relevant tonight because of the history of, and we still don't know all the things that happened to those poor animals.
Well, again, and I'm talking to Dr. Shomo from Osaka, Japan. The doctor is your veterinarian, right, doctor?
Yes.
Okay. What's your specialty?
My specialty is pathology and parasitology. I was once teaching in Africa for about 9 years, you see, and then I went back home. It's now since 73 I am now in Japan and continuing my work, which I have started already more than quarter centuries ago, century ago. it relates to one particular disease of central nervous system of domestic animals.
Like dogs and cats?
Yes. No. A horse, sheep and goats. And worm, which normally parasitize in the peritoneal cavity of cattle. When once transmitted by mosquito into horse, sheep or goats, they migrate.
Kind of like an encephalitis?
They migrate into the brain spinal cord and then sometimes come out into the anterior chamber of horse's eye. And this is the problem of the East, because this particular species of worm is only limitedly found in the East, not in other part of the world.
So you're an expert on that?
Yes, that's right.
Doctor, you've lived through the era of nuclear warfare and that sort of thing, however limited. What is your perspective on radiation so far as animals in this part of the world? Has there been a greater susceptibility to cancer in domestic animals?
That, you know, about that, we can't say. But anyhow, the follow-up of the on the condition of human beings has been done quite a lot in Japan, you see, especially in Hiroshima. There is a special hospital, and then there, all patients who are suffering from this post-war disease, they are well treated and also diagnosed properly, and treatment is free. So still many patients are still under their treatment.
But could you extend that theory to animals? I mean, if it happened to human beings,
yes,
surely the domestic animal.
Yes, that is what you wanted to know.
Of course.
Anyhow, at that time, one veterinary officer went to Hiroshima soon after the war, and he had investigated the situation of animals, but we don't have any record at all. But I think there is no great difference from the suffering of human beings. Anyhow, those who got a very high temperature and high pressure, they should have died quite soon, but those who got only radiation should have suffered quite chronically, you see. And
what about dogs in the outlying areas? What could, you know,
no, there is no record. I don't know at all about it.
So did the Japanese government keep records of that guy who did the research?
No, not only the Japanese government, but also from the United States Army. They should have it about it, you know. Then because before Japanese expert went to the spot, they already investigated the situation. So they should have a record. Perhaps in your national library there is a record.
There ought to be. Doc, as a person who's living in this part of the world, there is nuclear testing going on. How do you feel about the effect of nuclear testing on animals in the sea and that sort of thing, and the fallout?
Yeah, that is very pity, buddy. But you know, to protect the human beings, they have had to do it in sacrifice of the life of poor animals. You see, that is not only in nuclear research, but also in other diseases, the same thing is occurring. So, in a sense, we can't especially accuse only in the nuclear research about this sacrification of experimental animals.
Is there a nuclear research, or are a lot of animals used in laboratory testing in Japan?
That I don't know actually how it is made. Yes. But all people don't like to speak much of that effect anymore. So more or less the common medicine man or veterinarian doesn't bother much, do not bother much about the condition. But only the specialists will do it, I think. I'm sure they are still doing it.
Doc, in Japanese thinking, the culture, the philosophy, is there a Japanese perspective or an attitude toward animals, like the Hindus? Like the Hindus make animals gods.
No, we don't have much. Then because our religion, as you know, we are not so religious. Anyhow, therefore, usually they sacrifice the animals for medical or veterinary research quite easily. Yes.
So animals don't hold a special part in the Japanese culture or modern Japanese thinking, or even, you know, like the culture of the early Japanese emperors and all that sort of thing. You don't have any kind of cultural trend?
No, we don't have it. No.
Doc, if you were talking to the veterinarians at this conference, what would you say to them about people's attitudes toward animals? What perspective would you give them? What advice?
Of what?
Of how they should relate to animals. Do you, should it be more of a humanistic relation, or should
this is very difficult problem nowadays, because in our way of life in Japan, we are living so much crowded, so even the pet dogs and cats we can't keep anymore. Then, for example, for the education of children, we want to have one or two dogs, but if once we have the dog, we have to carry the precious dog together, and then when once the dog passes out, so we have to take it. And by this way, you see, gradually people are very few who really want to keep the pet. But on the other side, there are many people who are doing that, especially elderly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what happened there. Something happened. Okay.
Paul again, and I'm talking to Dr. Shomo from Osaka, Japan. The doctor is your veterinarian, right, doctor?
Yes.
Okay. What's your specialty?
My specialty is pathology and parasitology. I was once teaching in Africa for about 9 years. You see, and then I went back home. Now, since 73, I am now in Japan and continuing my work, which I have started already more than a quarter century ago. It relates to one particular disease of central nervous system of domestic animals.
Like dogs and cats?
Yes. No. A horse, sheep and goats. And worm, which normally parasitize in the peritoneal cavity of cattle.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to redo this, replay this Friday, August 8th, which is also, we will replay this. Now among the other, before we get to another interview, which I did with the only interview we ever did, Colonel Trevor Hodges, excuse me, not the actor. I will get to that in a minute about World War I and his experiences in the trenches in France. James Hormel is the heir to the Hormel meatpacking fortune out of Austin, Minnesota. And, of course, he's an openly advocate of a sexual preference agenda, and he's been put on the board of governors of the Commonwealth Club, which is supposed to be neutral and present all points of view for public discussion and discourse. Now, there's a growing question about an agenda being promoted by this guy. We know what he's done in other places, and one of the things that have not been disclosed by the Chronicle and other papers and the New York Times is that Hormel has been buying, using his money to invest in municipal bonds to influence the programs of schools around California. One of the big cover-ups was the San Francisco Public Library section, gay, lesbian, transgendered, and ambulance section in the San Francisco Library, which the media reported he donated $250,000. Well, that's a big lie. According to the records that he filed, his financial accountability statement he filed with the federal government when he applied to become ambassador to Luxembourg, Hormel bought $250,000 in municipal bonds to build that wing of the San Francisco Public Library exclusively for gay, lesbian, NAMBLA, transgendered, that whole agenda. He also bought bonds for other school districts around the United States. He also bought the house of San Francisco Judge Angela Boulain and her lover, Angela Bradstreet, the British lesbian anti-Boy Scout activist. And they couldn't sell their house, and so Hormel was separating from his former young lover that he brought here from Minnesota. And he bought the Judge Boulain and Angela Bradstreet's house for nearly, I think it was $1 million, $890,000. Then signed that deed over to the lover that they were splitting up. And so the lover then sold the house and moved to Palm Springs. We have all the documents, so this is indisputable. It's irrefutable. All of this was covered up by the morons in the media, along with many other things. Also, there's a question about the Hormel Meatpacking Company operates in South America, in particular Argentina, which is known for its cattle ranches and what the British call bully beef. Now, the question is, because of the Nazi connection to Argentina before World War II, during World War II, and after World War II, did some of these Argentine banks, in particular the Bank of the Province of Buenos Aires, which was connected to the Juan Pifre family, did that bank have any financial dealings with the Hormel Meatpacking Company and the Nazis who had stolen assets in the Holocaust from Jews, Catholics, and other people in the occupied countries that the Nazis overran in 1940 and 1941? There's that question. Now, another thing is some of the connections of Hormel that he's connected to the Bay Reporter, which is a male prostitution pedophile newspaper, and they specialize in targeting young military recruits. There's a connection. They've been advertising homosexual video voyeur videos, and which targeted young military recruits. And this all came up in 1999 in the kangaroo court trial of an 18-year-old sailor named Stephen Neri, who had killed someone who tried to anally rape him. That person, Juan Pifre, was an illegal alien connected to the San Francisco prosecutor who prosecuted the case and connected to all the people involved in the case who were prosecuting him and who put the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Marine Corps on trial as homophobic. So there's that issue. Now, there's going to be more on this because other newspapers have picked up on this, reputable, real journalists have picked up on this scandal. And so, you know, it's like the elephant in the room. You can't hide it, or I should say the jackass in the room, since Hormel is involved with the radical left wing of the Democratic Party. Now, another issue that's come up, and I was discussing this of the Chernobyl disaster in Ukraine with a Russian emigre, and I'd forgotten that Chernobyl was in the Ukraine. Well, there's still a lot of unresolved issues with that nuclear disaster, and we should be concerned because of this civil war that's going on there between the East and the West. The Easterners want to reunite with the what is now known as, well, what is the Soviet Union, and the Westerners want to be westernized and a link with Europe. The question is, what about all this nuclear waste? Has the Chernobyl site been successfully sealed? Or are there things being concealed? And what about nuclear weapons? Do the Ukrainians have nuclear weapons, which they may be tempted to use? This is an issue that we need, and it's relevant in world politics today. We have that same problem with the Iranians and their bombs. No, I think I'll just play this clip. We'll play it again because it's significant for the 100th commemoration, 100-year commemoration of the beginning of World War One. Nobody else had these interviews. I got them by accident, thanks to the Australian consulate after I came back from Australia and New Zealand. Did quite a bit of work down there. And they told me there's a man who was retired and who had served in both the British Army in World War One. He served at Gallipoli and also at the Battle of the Somme. Then he emigrated to America after the war, like a lot of other ex-British Army officers or ex-British ex-Army officers. And when World War II came around, or just before the Americans entered World War II, the call went out to these British ex-British Army officers to help the new American emerging army train them. So, because apparently FDR knew we were going to get into that war sooner or later, and we wanted to be prepared. So that's legitimate. So he became a colonel in the United States Army, and he served up here in Northern California in charge of a Women's Army Corps division. And there's some funny stories about that, which he would not let me put on tape, but I remember what he told me. Anyway, Colonel Hodges died in the late 80s, and we did, thank God we still have those tapes. And it's significant because there's a lot of California seems to attract a lot of ex-Army officers, ex-military. It's like the sun never sets on veterans who serve in the British, what they call the forces. So we've got that, and we make it available to everybody because it's history that we should all know and should appreciate and enjoy. So let me find Hodges here. Where is he? And, come on. So anyway, we're going to replay some of this come Friday, and it's worth hearing because our schools do not teach even American history, let alone Canadian or European history. So, and also we have some British, Canadian, no, Brit, who served in both the British and the Canadian navies. It's another interesting interview that we did, and he retired here. He married an American, and he retired to Oakland, California, and he died recently. So we will play that interview as part of our commemoration of World War One and, of course, World War Two, because they're all linked. For some reason, I can't find this. But anyway, we will be back Friday, August 8th at our usual time at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. And we should have an update on some other things that are very relevant that we need to discuss and you need to know about. And also go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVerits, and we're going to end with our usual politics and poker. Where the heck is it? Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
Guys, go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
I
try. Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
politics or poker? Which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Set 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about